Hi, and welcome back to Reclamation Radio. I am Dr. Kelly Brogan. And what I love about my containers is that the women I attract always have some audacious questions to ask me. So it's my intention for the musings that I share on these topics to grow the permission field of what's possible, and also to offer relatable reframes that can jailbreak you from your victim stories. So you might notice that I'm a bit more familiar and free when I'm answering these questions in our private spaces, so take a listen. And I hope you'll take the opportunity to submit your questions to me in my membership, Vital Life Project. Today's question: how do I respond to my husband when he says that I'm projecting and in victim consciousness and that I'm acting too masculine?
I have done this, right? I have been this person who says, you know, you're just projecting, or you're just triggered, right? Or you're so in your victim right now. And the "you're too masculine" thing that gets levied at women is a pretty common, I think, phenomenon now that we have an expressed desire as women, and most men support this desire in, you know, heteronormative dynamics, that women want to soften into their feminine, right? So that means if you're acting in a way that I don't like, and I'm your man, well, then I can just divest myself of personal responsibility for my experience, and I can make you bad and wrong by using the colloquial slander of "you are too masculine," right? I've also gotten that one. So this is a very familiar territory on both sides for me. And I do think that it's the shadow of pop psychology, is that we learn some of these phrases and it just becomes an intellectual approach to blaming and shaming. Because to tell, it's like, you know, Byron Katie, right? She says, if you think that somebody needs therapy, you need therapy. And I love that because it's so true. It's so true, right? If you think you know better, so if your husband thinks he knows, well, I guess, okay, so let me offer some nuance. Because if you are with a husband and you're in a polarized dynamic, part of the contract is he does know better, actually, than me, how I can decision make, right? What it is that I might need. That is actually part of a polarized contract, in my opinion. And your version of it is that you can intuit and feel and sense perhaps better. So you have this perception of each other's blind spots that can be so compatibly designed, right? That would be like an imago match, that you are specifically sensitive to the things that he can't see, and he is specifically sensitive to the things that you can't see. Yikes, right? And there is an artful way to working with those sensitivities. And this is why in relationship, in that dyad, each person, even if the man's role is to contain you, right? So your husband's role is to offer you containment, right? To offer you that grounding energy of my living as a man, my being as a man is a grounding for your system, woman. Okay. And that he knows what it is that you need to come back into yourself. The unwritten, you know, sort of like language is that you are each responsible for self-containment. As a woman, if you are experiencing blinding emotional overwhelm, you need to come into my containers, okay? And you need to learn how to be with yourself, how to husband yourself. Because blind emotional overwhelm, hysterical emotional overwhelm, is an uncontained state for a man or a woman, but for a woman to be in. It's no one's responsibility to manage that for you. The self-containment that is required to self-soothe, to offer orientation, right, to assess what is needed, will then be the perfect match for you to allow emotions to flow through you, right? Sometimes it's called revealing emotions without residue, right? So if you feel in your body something that he's just, so he says this thing like, you know, you're too masculine, you could come back with your retaliation Or you could just be like, oh, ouch, no narrative, no chitty chat about it, right? So revealing, right? Like sometimes revealing might be like a scream of frustration, right? But it's spontaneous. It's like moving through you like that wave I told you about earlier, right? It doesn't come with a whole litany of, you know, evidence. That is only possible when you have a practice of self-containing, which means that you know how to create the conditions for your own container, your own stabilization, right? You know what you need so that your feelings can be honored. I needed to leave the room during that talk. Okay. So that is what, just think about like the sort of like husband and wife on the wedding cake, right? Like that husband, if he had been there, right, might have escorted me out of the room feeling that my system was not doing well sitting there, right? So how do I offer that to myself? We have that responsibility, and men have a specific responsibility, in my opinion, to self-contain so that they can offer containment, because that is their gift, right? That is what it is that they bring to bear for society at large. Men, women, and children, right? They do this for everyone. So self-containing looks the same. It looks like, what do I need? What do I need right now so that I can be with whatever the hell is inside of me and not make it somebody else's responsibility? So in those moments where he is potentially levying that terminology, it's possible that he does not have the practice being with what it is that's going on inside of you. And he wants you to change, wants you to be different. Maybe it wants you to be bad and wrong, I don't know, for what it is that you are doing. Whereas another opportunity, you know, that could present itself is for him to attune to what's going on in your system or situation and offer you, you know, what is needed, right? Do you need his firm grasp on your arm and for him to just look into your eyes, like, command you in that way? Do you need, you know, to be corrected, right? Like, do you need to be reoriented? Does he need to guide the situation, lead the situation somehow, bring wise action to bear? So the creative responsibility of the dominant partner is immense. I mean, it's part of why it is so unappealing to me, you know, to remain in that kind of inverted polarity dynamic, right? Because the dominant partner, it's a lot to attune all the time, attend all the time, and then resource within to provide what it is that is needed. Sometimes it takes training, right? And that's why I refer a lot of men to my teacher, Om Rupani, because he does that kind of training. So what do you do when he's, you know, unable perhaps to hold his own reactivity inside? And so he's judging and condemning your behavior and telling you that, you know, what you're doing is this or that or the other. The answer is always to stay in your lane and focus on yourself, right? Because otherwise you're going to take the bait and you're going to just do the same thing to him, right? And focus on how he's not doing the thing and he should be doing this and he needs to go take a training with Om Rupani or whatever, right? So when you stay, and this is where the surrendered wife comes in again and again and again, when you stay in your lane and you focus on yourself and you are interested in what makes you happy and feels good to you and following your desire, prioritizing your pleasure, you take a lot of the focus out of the interstitial space between you, where a lot of us as women can get very hyper neurotically oriented. And then you give him the base and regard and respect to potentially rise into this more self-possessed archetype, mature into it even. And that's what I see through her testimonials. And I've seen even in my girlfriends, you know, who are partnered doing this kind of work, choosing to focus on appreciation, choosing to focus on respect, choosing to no longer micromanage their man's behavior and imagine that they know better how he should be acting, right? The miracle manifestation that comes from that is exactly what you want. I mean, that's like it's a tough pill to swallow, right? So like, what emerges from that space of allowing him to fail, if you will, is the success. And that is where and how you saying, you know what, when you use all this, you know, Kelly said, this is just pop psychology, rejection of your own emotions or whatever, right? Like, it's not going to get you where you want to go. And where you want to go, you can arrive at. And I would say to anyone these days, if only I had known what I know now, kind of a thing when I was in practice and I had literally 100% divorce rate from beginning to end of work with me, but never because I was encouraging it, but just because I thought, oh, this is like a phenomenon, right? You start a relationship on meds, you get off the meds and you don't want to be in the relationship. That just makes sense to me. And now I see, especially when there are children involved, that there is an opportunity. And if you leave shy of exercising this practice, you just never really saw what was fully possible. And, you know, it is what it is. But this practice of, you know, behavioral surrender that is outlined in that book requires self-containment and vulnerability. And the only reason you'd ever offer that to yourself is because it's the way to get what you want. That's literally why. And it happens to be the case that there is a way to get what you want that also actually serves the other person. And that's called a win-win, right? Rather than a zero-sum game where you getting what you want means that they, you know, have to relinquish what it is that they want. So I think there's a lot of power there. And, you know, I just want to validate what I see you sharing because I get how that feels. Been on the receiving end of it. I've also been on the giving end of it. And when you say, you know, to someone you're arguing with, like, you know, you're just projecting on me. You've abandoned yourself, your feeling state, to go assess and judge how they're being. We all do this and it is what it is. However, there is a way to stay with yourself and to recognize what are my choices here, right? My responsibility is to be with, regulate, manage, however you want to phrase it, my own inner system. But what are my choices here, right? And then, and which one do I want to exercise? That is how not to take the bait. It's very, very, very challenging not to take the bait of making somebody bad and wrong just so that you can exercise your power of choice. And she would say, Laura Doyle would say, fundamentally choose, are you in or are you out? You in the marriage or do you want to leave? If you want to leave, you leave. But if you're in, act like you chose this man because you did, right? And that is so powerful to me because I can't tell you how many women I know who just stay to foment. It's like a fucking louche ritual. They stay to foment their victimhood. And then both parties are doing that. And this is, honestly, this is where they want us, if I'm, you know, to be direct about it. Because when that dyad is broken down, we got problems. And that's what we have. We have some problems, right? But when it is strengthened, we have a free energy technology available to us. And it does, there's some plot twists here for sure. Trust me, there are. Shocking for me as well. So people love to ask me questions and I love to ask questions of others because inquiry is play. But some of my interviews and answers are too hot to handle for Reclamation Radio. So in my membership, Vital Life Project, I have created a private podcast that gets delivered to wherever you listen to podcasts, where I answer your questions that arise because of my provocative subject matter. And I also share interviews that might otherwise be censored that I call the Sovereignty Series. So you'll get access to these private podcasts and a private chat by joining my membership, Vital Life Project. I'll see you in there.